Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
The 40th shir of Sefer HaMitzvahs corresponds to the 9th, 10th, and 11th Perek of Hilchos Shabbos. And once again, today we learn Mitzvah Shin Chof, the 320th Mitzvah of the Torah, Laisasa Kol Melocha, that you're not permitted to do any work on Shabbos. And yesterday we talked about the details of the various implications that come as a result of Chas V'Shalom, what's called Chil Shabbos. So today, as we analyze this mitzvah once again, I wanted to share with you some of the origin or root reasons for Shabbos as they're articulated by the Sefer HaChinuch. And I also want to talk a little bit about what the idea of what exactly does this mean. We say, do not work on Shabbos. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Beis, which is the prohibition of doing work on Shabbos, says that the Shorshei HaMitzvah, one of the roots of this mitzvah, is the idea that we should be free on this day to be able to honor the Shabbat properly. Because if we were able to work, so we would get busy. That's how human nature is. And therefore the Torah prohibits any work. And the purpose of the prohibition of work is not that you should sit and do nothing, but we should be bored or upset because we can't move. But we should focus on a different kind of existence. We should be in a different headspace, in a different state of consciousness. What is the focus of Shabbat? L'kvoa b'nafshesenu, to establish, to implant within our souls, the faith and belief that we have in what's called chidush ha'olam, the novelty, the newness of creation, that this is a chevel ha'meshaches kol yisayd hadas. The Sefer HaChinuch says, observing Shabbat is the rope that brings with it the rest of Judaism. The entire Jewish faith revolves around Shabbat. And this is perhaps the reason that colloquially we refer to Jews as being observant, as being a Shomer Shabbat. We don't call them a Shomer Kashrut. We don't call them a Shomer Mikveh. We call people yes Shomer Shabbat or no Shomer Shabbat. That becomes the dividing line of a Jew who's living his life in accordance with God's will in the Torah or not. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that this idea that it was God who created the world, that we have to remember and focus every week, each week, that the world was created in 6 days, and that on the seventh day God did not create anything, and that therefore we rest on the seventh day, this is how we, so to speak, counterbalance the claims of people who are atheistic in nature and say, yeah, maybe even if there is a force or a power, but that force of power or intelligence arrived with the rest of creation. And we, of course, do not believe that. God is primordial. He precedes everything. And everything was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we rest on the seventh day, we remind ourselves of creation. And when people see us resting on Shabbos, and they start asking questions, why aren't you working today? What do you mean you can't come today? What is this about? And the response of a Jew is, because Hashem worked on 6 days and he rested on the seventh. All of this strengthens the notion of our faith in Hashem, our emuna in the truth of godliness. The Sefer HaChinuch says that in addition to the memory of Shabbat Bereshit, of the Shabbat, the rest, the cessation of work that happened in the beginning of creation, we also have attached in the Torah this idea of Zecher Liyetziat Mitzrayim, that it reminds us of the Exodus. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains it with the following notion. He says, we were slaves, and we didn't have the ability to rest. We couldn't take a day off. And now, we're not slaves to anybody. There's nobody who can tell us, we have to work on this day. And if there is, then we're allowing ourselves to be slaves again. And this is a day that, sorry, it's Shabbat. I'm not available. I'm not possible. In other words, that we have transferred our allegiance from being the slave to a particular slave or taskmaster, and instead, v'zacharta, we say, ki eved hayita, you were a slave, al kein tzivcha, therefore it says in the fifth book of the Torah, Mishnah Torah, tzivah Hashem alekecha la'aseh es yom ha-shabbos, that's why God commands you to keep this day of Shabbos. So this is a little bit of the background. There's much to be said about Shabbos. It's a little bit of background about the holy day of Shabbat, Shabbat Kodesh. And with regard to what is the meaning of work, so in the Torah itself, none of this is clearly expelled out. doesn't say anywhere. The only thing we hear about is lo tivaru esh, that you shall not incinerate, shall not ignite fire. And there's a question in the Talmud as to why, of all the different 39 manners of work, 39 different methods, or as it's referred to, arboim chasarachas, 40 minus 1, why is it that this is singled out? Some say it's because it's not as severe a prohibition, and others maintain, and this is the generally followed approach, that it's lechalik, that if a person would violate the different details of Shabbos, so for example, if he would plant and he would harvest, if he would write, and if he would build, do a number of different things, it wouldn't say that that's part of violating Shabbat, or you're on the way to violating Shabbat, and you have to violate it all 39 different ways in order for Shabbat to be violated. No, that's not the case. If somebody transgresses even a single one of those 39, what's called avot malachot, parent groupings of malachot, the Shabbat is violated. Now, how do we know what is considered work? So the Torah tells us in very clear terms that after Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Jewish people a message that they were being forgiven, the day after Yom Kippur, he gathered them all together, and he said to them, I have something very important to tell you. Yes, you have to keep Shabbat. Keep Shabbat, we already heard about that. That's not new, that's old. But Moshe Rabbeinu had to preface the details, the instructions about building a Mishkan with Shabbat, because otherwise the natural thing to do would have been to work feverishly, day and night, with one goal in mind, building this house of God, this Mishkan, that would be a dut testimony that Hashem has forgiven us. So the people would have worked feverishly around the clock, and they would have justified it. Say, even in the Beit HaMikdash, you're allowed to violate the Shabbat to bring a korban. It's not called violating Shabbat. For sure, you're allowed to override or transcend the Shabbat when you're building the Mishkan. No, says Moshe Rabbeinu. There is the loftiest ideas in the world still do not deflect the keeping of Shabbat. And certain deviant movements from Torah Judaism introduced ideas where they said, well, you know, it's very important to come to Shul, or it's very important to have community. Therefore, we can override Shabbat for certain things. And this is a direct contravention of the very essence of Yiddishkeit, the first major message that Moshe Rabbeinu brought to Jewish people when he told them they have to build the original house of prayer, a house of worship, a house of connection, which was the Mishkan. So therefore, we have to know that everything that was involved in building the Mishkan would be a violation of the Shabbat. Because if some of the things that we did to build, to put together the Mishkan, were not a violation of Shabbat, we could save those things to the seventh day. So I'll say, we can't kill any animals, and we can't skin any hides, and we can't build, and we can't fashion the wood. Okay, fine, but we can sew. So let's leave all the sewing or all the weaving for the day of Shabbat. It couldn't do any work. Which tells us that anything that was involved in the concept of making a Mishkan, any kind of work, is a violation of the Shabbat. And the oral tradition has it that there are, as I said, 39 different categories. They're called Avot Melachot. We also have something called Toldot, which are the offspring. So there's a parent grouping of violations of Shabbat. And then there are things which are like them. So we're not allowed to do those things, and they are called Toldot. What is the difference in an offspring and a parent? Very simple. That if somebody violates a number of the same prohibition, because it's in the parent group or in the offspring group, then you only have to bring one korban chatas, as we mentioned. But if somebody violates in a number of different kinds of prohibition of Shabbat, then he would have to bring the korban chatas, the sin offering, for which one is required to bring, if you violate the Shabbat accidentally, a number of times. And this is the idea of lechalik. That's what you talked about, the idea of l'tvaru esh. The prohibitions of Shabbat do not necessarily require a tremendous amount of toil. If somebody writes two letters, that's already a violation of the Shabbat. If somebody walks in our great city of Toronto all the way north, goes all the way down south to the lake, walking through the city, you may be perspiring, you may be exhausted, but you didn't violate the Shabbat. No, that's not a violation of the Shabbat. You're within the city, you can walk within the city, no matter how big the city is. But this is much more difficult. Yes, that's true. The Torah says we're not allowed to do creative activities. Writing two letters, putting a word together, that's a creative activity. Striking a match is a very easy thing to do. Doesn't require much effort, but it's a creative thing. You brought a fire into this world. And so on and so forth. It's obviously impossible to cover in any meaningful way the length and scope and breadth of the laws of Shabbat, the violations of Shabbat, but there are something that have to be studied. This is the mitzvah. It's all related to mitzvah Shin Chaf. And I will finish with two little points. Number one, we say there are 39, so why does it say 40 minus 1? Say 39? What's our boyim chasid achas? So the Alter Rebbe says in Lekut HaTorah, because there is a 40th kind of work which is permitted. And that's called Aveda Ruchnis, spiritual work. So a rabbi could work very hard on Shabbat. Some rabbis, the hardest day of work is on Shabbat. A chazan could work very hard. A bal korah could work very hard. A yid could work very hard at davening. He spends his whole Shabbat davening. He worked very hard. He's exhausted by the end of the Shabbat. That's not a problem. So the 39 kinds of work that are prohibited, aboyim chasar achas, to tell you the Shabbat is indeed a day of rest, a day of rest from physical material work, from creative work of the body, but not from the work which is related to the neshama. And a lot of people talk about their Shabbos snooze, or their nap, or sleeping on Shabbos, and they say it's written, Shina Shabbat Tanug, that sleeping on Shabbos is a pleasure. That may be true. It's also true that if you vowelize it a little different, it doesn't say Shina, it says Shena, which means Torah study. And Shabbat is a day of spirituality. It's not a day of doing nothing. It's not an empty day. It's not a vacuous day, Chas V'Shalom. It's a day of tremendous importance. It's a day of tremendous spirituality. It's a day of tremendous potency and a day of tremendous meaning. And the reason we don't do work is that instead we should fill our time with holy pursuit. And it is with the Shabbat that a Jew basically realigns himself on a weekly basis. You get a little bit of clarity. You put life back into perspective. And this is what the Sefer HaChinuch says. It's a major rope in our religion, in our faith, in our serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the last little vort that I'll share with you about this idea of Arboim Chasar Achas and the concept of keeping the Shabbat as a Jew is supposed to, the Talmud tells us that if all the Jews were to keep Shabbat, Mashiach would come. There are two versions, one Shabbat or two Shabbatot. And the time of Mashiach is called Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umenucha L'chaye Ho'olamim. So in other words, the observance of Shabbat is directly linked to transforming the entire world and to ushering in the coming of Mashiach. And it says, Kol Hashomer Shabbat Kehilchato Mochalin Lo Kol Avonotav. Anybody who keeps the Shabbat properly, means Kehilchato, as the Alter Rebbe emphasizes, as the Torah says it, not as I decide to keep Shabbat, what to me is meaningful, or whatever other mumbo-jumbo people come up with in justifying their behavior. But the Kehilchato, as the Halacha says, as Jewish law ordains, then all of his sins are forgiven. And the Alter Rebbe says that a person has to study Hilchot Shabbat his whole life. And if you're not studying the laws of Shabbat on a regular basis, invariably, you're transgressing the Shabbat because it's so sophisticated and so nuanced and so detailed that it's something that requires a tremendous amount of ongoing, continuous effort. And on that note, we should all study the laws of Shabbat. We should all keep Shabbat and hope and pray that very, very soon we will reach the time of Yom Shekulo Shabbat, a day which is all Shabbat, umenucha, and tranquility, l'chai ho'ilaming, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen.